Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Galp Energia's 12 months and fourth quarter 2012 results conference call and strategy execution update. I will now pass the floor to Mr. Thiago Vilas-Boas, head of the Investor Relations Division.
Hello, good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Galp Energia's 12 month and fourth quarter 2012 results and strategy execution update conference call. Joining me today is our CEO, Manuel Ferreira de Oliveira, and our CFO, Felipe Silva. We'll start by summarizing our fourth quarter results. Manuel will then proceed with an update on our strategy execution, after which we'll be available for a brief Q&A session. As usual, I remind you that we'll be making several forward-looking statements during the call, so I'd like to draw your attention to the disclaimer at the end of the published presentation. I'll now pass the floor to Felipe.
Thank you, Thiago, and good morning to you all. We will start with the profit and loss statement on slide 14. EBITDA was up 10% over the equivalent quarter of the previous year to €229 million on the back of higher production in Brazil and a less adverse refining margin environment. On the E&P front, despite maintenance works in Brazil and in Angola, production during the fourth quarter was 23,000 barrels of oil equivalent per day, of which around 60% from Brazil. On the refining and marketing side, operational issues related to the conclusion of the upgrade project and the strike in October impacted the refinery's utilization during the quarter. With these factors, we managed to capture only a part of the refining margin tailwinds. Refining and marketing quarterly EBITDA stood at €76 million, with a lower contribution from the marketing side of the business, which continued to be impacted by the downturn in Iberia. I highlight that refining and marketing results were supported by cost restructuring measures put in place during 2012, namely employee health insurance costs with an actuarial effect of around €23 million pre-tax, fully accounted for in the fourth quarter. Regarding gas and power, lower gas demand in Iberia allowed us to continue to divert cargoes to premium international markets, namely to Asia. Gas and power earnings were, however, impacted by lower margins as take-or-pay clauses led to higher sourcing costs during the fourth quarter. All in all, 2012 EBITDA was €1,015 million, in line with previous guidance and up 27% from the previous year. As for EBIT, at €142 million during the quarter, it benefited from lower non-cash costs. I highlight the lower provisions in E&P following a reclassification to the tax line of provisions for oil taxes in Angola related to previous periods. EBIT was also supported by the upward revision of reserves in Angola, leading to lower depreciations, although to a lesser extent than in the previous year. Below the EBIT line, results in the quarter were impacted by lower financial results and by higher taxes. On financial results, I draw your attention that in the fourth quarter we were still capitalizing the interest costs relating to the Sines refinery upgrades. Our average cost of debt has been stable at around 4.5%, even as our average maturities continue to increase. In the end, net profit reached €83 million in the fourth quarter, or about 10% above the previous year's equivalent quarter. Moving on to our balance sheet on slide 15, net debt increased €328 million to around €1.7 billion, which resulted in part from anticipated higher capex throughout the fourth quarter. We have now also reduced to almost zero all outstanding factoring balances, which had been in place since 2011. Our crude and product inventories were also up 115 million euros in 2012 as a side effect of the hydrocracker commissioning delay. We are expecting to adjust this amount downwards during the course of 2013 as the hydrocracker regime stabilizes. Considering our loan to Sinopec of about 920 million euros as cash and equivalents, our year-end net debt would stand at 780 million euros, or about 0.8 times last year's EBITDA. CapEx amounted to 327 million euros in the quarter. From these, around 70% were allocated to the E&P business, namely to the development activities in the Lula field in Brazil and to the exploration and appraisal activities in the Rovuma Basin offshore Mozambique. Now let me go briefly through the main drivers we expect will impact our performance in this first quarter of 2013. Working interest production is expected to be in line with the fourth quarter of 2012, around 24,000 barrels of oil equivalent per day, as some Angolan fields mature while the Lula pilot recovers to full speed after the maintenance works of the last quarter. On the refining business, we will see for the first time the positive impact from the upgrade. However, it will still be a partial impact, considering that this is a quarter to ramp up and to stabilize production. On the oil marketing business, we expect volumes to be lower compared to the first quarter of last year, as austerity measures in Portugal and Spain will continue to impact demand for oil products. On the natural gas business, volumes are expected to continue to benefit from a strong LNG trading activity, as this market remains supported by healthy Asian demands. We have a few LNG cargoes contracted for this first quarter already, supporting increased volumes in the period. And now for our strategy execution update, I'll pass the floor to Manuel. Thank you.
Good morning, and thank you, Philip, for passing me the word. Let us now try and review our strategy update. As Philip mentioned, we accomplished important milestones on our strategy execution over the last quarter, namely in exploration and production business, as we further de-risk the resources and strengthen our exploration portfolio. We have concluded drilling in Carcará and Júpiter, both in the pre-salt Brazil, two key wells that allowed us to gather relevant information for the future development of these reservoirs. Regarding Carcará, the well reached the final depth of around 6,700 meters, proved an oil column with at least 471 meters, and showed excellent porosity and permeability characteristics. In addition, we have found high pressures in the reservoir, which is a positive variable when estimating future well flow rates. Let me add that the quality of this reservoir is the most attractive among what I have seen so far in the pre-salt Santos Basin. We have our own internal estimates on resources for Carcará. I'm aware that most of you would like us to share those estimates with the market. However, and because our numbers are still preliminary and subject to discussions with our partners, we unfortunately cannot release them at this stage. Nonetheless, Carcará is unequivocally a commercial discovery that unlocked the development of the block PMS-8. As we still have to better understand the extension and the characteristics of the reservoir, an appraisal well was scheduled to be drilled in the second half of 2013, targeting the flank of the reservoir, which will give us more certainty on its recoverable resources, and on the full characteristics of the reservoir. We expect first oil on Carcará to occur in 2018. Regarding our Jupiter Nordeast, the well has reached a final depth of 6,018 meters, and it confirmed an hydrocarbon column of 176 meters. It is a reservoir that is much, much, much larger than Carcará, and hence with lower thickness, with good permeability and porosity characteristics. Additionally, as we have already announced, the well proved the connectivity of the reservoir with the first Jupiter discovery, and it confirmed our base case reservoir model and the same hydrocarbon mix, i.e. one-third of oil, one-third of gas, and one-third of condensate, with volumes in line with previous indications of the reservoir size. What I can advance at this stage is that we continue to evaluate all the data collected so far, but considering the dimension of this discovery, we are already confident on its commercial development. We continue to mature different development scenarios, assuming the first FPSO to be operation as soon as 2018. Let us now move to the Rovuma Basin in Mozambique, which in 2012 delivered excellent results, far exceeding an initial expectation, as we almost doubled the already outstanding volumes estimated to be in place in Area 4. We've drilled 6 wells during the course of the year, and we will continue with appraisal activities in the block during the first half of 2013. These activities are key to better outline the development plan of the area. So far, an impressive 75 TCFs of gas in place have been identified, leaving no doubt whatsoever about the commercial development of these discoveries. The FEED, the front-end engineering development studies, have already been contracted, and we anticipate that the final investment decision for the area will be taken at the beginning of next year. Still regarding exploration, I want to highlight the far means we have announced last November in Namibia and Morocco, in line with our exploration and production strategy, further diversifying our exploration portfolio. In fact, I reaffirm our focus on exploration, not only key to sustain our production in the long term, but more importantly, as it enables us to maximize the creation of value by entering at the early stages of the value creation process. We have today one of the most exciting portfolios in the industry for a company of our size, with exposure to world-class basins and to promising frontier areas. In 2013 alone, we have scheduled at least 10 potentially high-impact wells, which we expect to add material value to our portfolio, namely in Mozambique and in the pre-South Santos Basin, but also in underexplored areas like Potiguar and Namibia. We will give you more color on that in our Capital Markets Day on March the 5th. Regarding the development of the Lula field in Brazil, it is evolving as programmed. I emphasize the development of the Lula field is evolving as programmed. Cidade Angra do Reis is running at full capacity, and the second FPSO, Cidade Paraty, is on track to be producing at the Lula Nordeste location by the second quarter of this year. It will be on site by the end of this quarter. I want to reassure you that, although it will be the first time that semi-rigid risers are deployed in the field, we are comfortable with our previous ramp-up estimate. We have always guided for around 1 year to 1.5 years of production ramp-up. We anticipate that 3 production wells and 1 gas injection well will be connected by the end of the year, with an exit rate of production at around 75,000 barrels of oil. But we are not only delivering on upstream. Since the beginning of the year, we have announced the start-up of the production of the Sines hydrocracker, the central piece of our refining upgrade project. after the first months of operations, I'm glad to share with you that it is already running at around 80% utilization rate and with 99% conversion, which is clearly an extraordinary positive result. We will continue operations with maximum safety and to ensure that we do not jeopardize the value delivery going forward. We will expect that the hydrocar will have a full contribution to our results in the second Q this year by achieving not only full utilization rate, total conversion, and full stability by throughout March. As Philip mentioned, we will see a partial uplift in the refining margins already this quarter, as we expect to deliver full impact from the second quarter onwards as we reach a steady level of production. To conclude, in 2013 we are on track to deliver additional value to our shareholders. On the Iberian Peninsula, earnings will be impacted by the refining upgrade and will continue to benefit from the LNG trading activity. On the upstream, we will continue to deliver production growth and de-risking resources and prospects, which will have a positive impact on earnings and value. Considering all these variables, we are prepared to deliver improved performance in 2013. Furthermore, with at least 10 high-impact wells scheduled for 2013, we also have the potential to unlock and add further value to our portfolio and ultimately to our shareholders. I also want to share with you our satisfaction for having been included in the 100 global most sustainable companies in Davos recently, which confirms our commitment to sustainability as it is our duty. With this, I conclude our presentation for the day. Thank you for your attention, and we are now available to questions.
Thank you, sir. If any participant would like to ask a question, please press the star followed by the 1 on your telephone. If you wish to cancel this request, please press the star followed by the 2. We ask that you limit yourself to a maximum of 2 questions each. Your questions will be polled in the order they are received, and there will be a short pause whilst participants register for a question. The first question comes from Thomas Adolf from Credit Suisse. Please proceed with your question.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my question. I was just firstly to Philip, quick one on if you can give me some sort of a guidance for depreciation and the tax rate for 2013. And then the second question is just on Brazil. Firstly, on the Jupiter block, whether you can comment on the size of the next exploration well, Bahuhi, and just to clarify that you didn't encounter any additional oil volumes in the Jupiter Northeast appraisal well, and just to follow on the Carcara, now that you've kind of unveiled the drilling plan for 2013, whether it's fair to assume that the ANP has now officially given you the extension, and what this extension allows you to do in terms of drilling, not just the appraisal well, but also exploration well, including the G prospect. Thank you.
Thank you, Thomas. This is Philippe. On depreciation, we are expecting an impact of about 100 million euros during 2013 as Cinege is commissioned. The tax rates we are assuming is, as per previous guidance, on the mid-30s, so mid-30%.
Thomas, thank you for your questions. You went straight to both Jupiter and the Carcara. Let me refer to Jupiter first. So you remember that when we started drilling this well, we had unknowns to be removed. The well is drilled after a fault and was to test the continuity of the reservoir or otherwise, and also to test whether we had
the right water cut achieved in the first well. So, results. We confirmed the continuity of the reservoir. That is to say, the fluids are exactly the same, the pressures the same, and the water cut at the same level. So that means that the fault was developed after the formation of the reservoir. So the conclusion of that was the following. Our previous 3C estimates for the resources in the block are the same, i.e. one-third of oil, one-third of gas, one-third of condensate, totaling at the 3C level about 5 billion barrels. So what are we doing now? What are we doing in Jupiter is doing what we have already shared with the market, developing options for the production of the mixture of gas, natural gas and CO2, because the production of condensate and crude oil is technically simple. That's Jupiter. Now, Carcará. Carcará, we will be drilling a well on the flank of the reservoir. The objective of that well is clearly to assess the quality of the reservoir, because in the well that we drilled we have a high quality, as we referred many times, in terms of porosity, permeability. The question is that quality the same across all the reservoir? And that's the major questions that we are going to answer, is quality and the volume of the reservoir beyond the area of influence of the discovery well. We have no plans to drill this year in Prospect G. As you are aware, the ANP, the National Agency of Petroleum of Brazil, already accepted the extension of the exploration phase of the well. We are negotiating the final terms of that extension, but with the agreement of ANP, and in that would be the dates to drill Prospect G. Thank you, Thomas, for your question.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from Dan Eckstein from UBS. Please proceed with your question.
Thank you. On Mozambique, we're coming to the conclusion of the appraisal phase in the gas window, at least, and it seems that there is a potential decision point coming for the participants, given that Eni and Anadarko are likely to launch a farm down process in the second half of this year. I wonder if you could tell us how you are thinking about Galp's equity stake in Mozambique at the moment. Is 10% the right number? Is it potentially too high or is it potentially too low? I just wonder if you could talk about the parameters there. Thanks.
Thank you, Dan. But I want to complement my answer to Thomas, if you allow me. He asked us about Bracuí. Bracuí is a materially relevant prospect. There is another one also, but not as big as this one in the Jupiter block, and we'll be drilling this well this year. We have high confidence on the success of that well. Let us call it technical curiosity, is the concentration of CO2 there. We expect it to be slightly different than Jupiter, and contribute to the optimization of Jupiter field. It will be start drilling in the second quarter this year. Now then, Mozambique. The problem of Mozambique is no longer gas. The problem is now development and consolidation of a shareholding structure that is stable and looking forward. We have 10% is materially relevant for us. What I can tell you on that is that we are satisfied with our participation in that world-class project. We'll be paying attention to what's going on around us and take the decisions accordingly. We have no specific position either to reduce or to increase. We'll see how things move, and we'll take those decisions in due time. Thank you, Dan.
Thanks.
Thank you. The next question comes from Nitin Sharma from JP Morgan. Please proceed with your question. Nitin Sharma, please proceed with your question. I do apologize, they seem to have decalled. The next question comes from Tipan Jotalingam from Nomura International. Please proceed with your question.
Yeah, hi, good morning. A couple of questions, actually. Firstly, just coming back to Brazil, I just wanted to get your thoughts on how you prioritize dollars into Carcara versus Jupiter, particularly from a development perspective and the date you've given around a potential FPSO in the Carcara area. In your view, how do you what do you consider more valuable today, putting dollars into Jupiter or Carcara? Then the second question, just on Namibia, could you just remind us around the key risks on the different prospects? And is the Wingat prospect and drilling of that independent of drilling on Moosehead in PEL 24? And just one last question, actually. Just could you give a net number in terms of what you're drilling for in 2013? Thank you.
Tipan, thank you for your questions once again. Now back to Carcara and Jupiter. These are totally two reservoirs totally different. No? So the issue of Carcara is understanding the size and characteristics of the reservoir. That's the topics that we are discussing. No? Obviously, there is one optimistic scenario, which is basically that what we've seen in the first well can be extrapolated for the overall reservoir. That would give that will create an extremely exciting scenario. Another one is that it would be something in between what we have elsewhere in the Santos Basin and what we discovered. Another one is that what is beyond the area of influence of the well is simply similar to what is elsewhere in the pre-salt. So those scenarios are introduce uncertainty, and what we have to do is drill the well in a flank, as I referred, and in that way understand the characteristics and size of the reservoir. There is no technological issue in this well, in this area. Moving to Jupiter is totally different. We have a gigantic reservoir with one-third of gas, one-third of condensate, and one-third of oil. And then we have another third of hydrocarbons, which is natural gas, highly mixed with CO2. This mixture of CO2 natural gas can be an asset or a liability. And we are conducting studies to de-risk the value of that. And that has a major influence on the timing and value of the reservoir. On the timing, because we might create more value by delaying the exploration of that part of the reservoir to use that fluid to enhance the recovery factor on the neighboring reservoirs. And that is what we are doing. We hope to be able to give you material information on that in our Capital Markets Day. We are conducting studies, both internally and through the support of specialist consultants, to help us to have a view about how this can be done and what is best for the company and for everybody. So that's as far as the oil phase and the condensate phase, we know already that we can produce them, and because we have declaration of commerciality in Jupiter by 2016, we are already programming to have the first production unit or first oil in Jupiter by 2018, which is two years later, two years after the declaration of commerciality. We hope, however, that the full development plan for the gas CO2 component of this huge reservoir to be clarified through the studies and tests that we need to do going forward. Going to Namibia, the three prospects are independent, using the standard technology of peer review by geologists, we are talking about the probability of success in the range of 15 to 25%. It's high risk. All the wells are, let us make it very clear, high risk, potentially high reward. Now let us trust nature and keep our fingers crossed. We've done our work so far. Thank you.
I'm sorry, the net number for the aggregate 10 wells for this year, the high impact wells?
We don't have that number at hand at this moment. We've got, so we will be on our capital markets day trying to share that with you.
Very clear. See you then.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from Felipe Rosa from Espirito Santo. Please proceed with your question.
Hi, good morning, everyone. On Mozambique, regarding the oil prospect that you intend to drill, you are talking about also an high impact well. Could you provide us some color on the pre-drill estimates for that prospect in Mozambique? And the same for Potiguar, okay, which apparently are apart from Namibia, where you already gave some details, we don't have any pre-drill estimates for Potiguar or Mozambique oil. And my second question regards net debt. It has steadily increased along 2012, despite the I think that at year-end, CapEx has been below your initial guidance. You have growing exploration CapEx commitments. The development of Mozambique is about to start. Could we have some divestments this year to help funding the CapEx plan, or do you feel comfortable with the net debt level that you have currently? Thank you.
Philip, thank you for your questions. No, I'll give the word to Philip Silva, not to you, to answer to the second part of your questions. As far as Mozambique oil, you know it's important for Mozambique and for us to see where that basin has an oil potential. No? So we are excited about this well, not only because of its materiality, it is a material well, because it will help us to prepare ourselves for the forthcoming bidding round in Mozambique, which with a strategy that geared for oil. No? So the well is important to see whether we will have oil or not in Mozambique. Whether and the dimension of the prospect is material to support a medium size offshore facility to send it to shore if oil is there. No?
Okay.
Going to Potiguar and why don't we? For different projects, for different prospects, we share different types of information. We fundamentally have different consortiums in every project that we have. So what we tend is to ensure that we have an opinion, we express our opinion to the consortiums we are part of, and then try to create a consensus. We all know that geoscience is not an absolute science. So we value very much the opinion of others and try to share with the investors not only our opinion but the opinion of the consortiums. And this is why we sometimes have different criteria in different projects, because we have different partners. Fundamentally, that's it. Okay?
Okay.
Thank you, Philip.
Philip, on net debt, yes, we are comfortable, but we are expecting to see net debt going up over the next few years, as you would expect. So given the CapEx we have ahead of us, both in Brazil and in Mozambique, net debt is expected to go up. Now, the big shift in 2012 was working capital, so that we expect to be stable going forward. And to answer your question on our portfolio, yes, we would expect to have a very active portfolio review of what assets we consider as core assets and those that we consider not so core. So this is work in progress, decisions to be taken throughout the life of the plan. Overall, we expect to have more debt in euros, but we expect to keep our debt to EBITDA well within very healthy multiples.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but sorry, related to that, the fact that this year you are going to accelerate CapEx significantly, do you think that this portfolio optimization measures that you were talking about could start already in 2013, given this step up in the CapEx plan, almost for sure in 2013?
Now, Philip, our leverage ratios are very comfortable, and so is our liquidity position. So we are not expecting any major moves in the short term. No, we would expect fine tunings of some of the lines in our balance sheets. We've mentioned stocks, we've mentioned, there's some small stakes that we own here and there that are not key. So that you could expect to see during 2013. But none of the big strategic assets that you might have in mind, like our gas infrastructure network or our E&P portfolio.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question comes from Mehdi Ennebati from Societe Generale. Please proceed with your question.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. Only two questions. First one, regarding your new hydrocracker at Sines Refinery, you say it will have a positive contribution in terms of refining margins. But just to be sure, will it have a positive contribution in terms of EBIT, meaning that the startup production costs will not offset the gain on refining margins? And the second question is regarding BMS-24. On the 5 billion barrel of oil equivalent resources estimates in BMS-24, does this include any estimates from Brakoui or not yet? Thank you.
Thank you, Mandy, for your two questions. Starting with the second one, the 5B, which if you remember the statement, was saying that the Jupiter field was as big as the Lula field, which was at that time about 5, and we keep maintaining the same number. That does not include Brakoui. So the second is the hydrocracker. The hydrocracker will have, we expect, a positive contribution at the EBIT line. But none of us will be able to forecast refinery margins. I think if we attempt to forecast, is an attempt to fail. No? But our expectation is that we'll get an increasing incremental refinery margin between versus the previous upgrading condition of the refining system, as we have said many times, of about $2 to $3 a barrel. And let's wait and see what the market offers.
Okay, thank you very much. Just to be sure regarding Barakoui, BMS-24, so if you find hydrocarbon resources at Barakoui, you could be able to increase your increase your resource estimates for BMS-24.
The answer is yes. Brakoui is at this moment as a prospect, and if the prospect is confirmed, we will increase the resources. No? And once if economically demonstrated, and it will be reserves. But let me take the first question for the hydrocracker one as well. One factor that the hydrocracker investment brings is that we will be having a higher load factor in the refining margins, in the refinery business as a whole. Because in the previous configuration, if we look at our largest refinery, Sines, above above 80% load factor, it would be pure hydroskimming, which means negative refinery margin. So effectively, it was limited on capacity. With the full conversion, we have now the total capacity available to exploit the full scale of the conversion process. So we have not only higher volumes going through, resulting from the simpler application of the linear programming models, but also higher margins. Thank you, Mandy.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question comes from Haitham Rashid from Morgan Stanley. Please proceed with your question.
Thank you. Good afternoon, gents. Two quick questions, if I may. Most of my others have been already answered. But firstly, just to come back on the Sines upgrade, just a clarification, Manuel, if I may. You mentioned the $2 to $3 uplift. Previously, when you'd given the capital markets update on Sines, you talked about 2.5 to 3.5 at 2011 conditions. I just wanted to get a sense of if you look at 2012 refining conditions, which were obviously relatively different from 2011, does that $2 to $3 still hold, or does it look quite different going forward? Second question I had was just on CapEx, quick one, just on the cash flow CapEx that's reported. It seems that there's been restated versus 3Q, and I just wanted to understand what was driving that restatement in net investment in the cash flow statement. Thank you.
Haitham, I'll leave the second question to Philippe, and I'll take the first one. So when we look at the Sines upgrade, you know that in refinery margins, what we can say professionally is tells you what would have happened in the previous year. So last year in the capital markets day, we said that if we had the hydrocracker operational during 2011, we would have had an incremental refinery margin of 2.5 to 3, plus at least 20 million barrels of processing crude. That's what we've said. Now moving to this year, we are saying looking to 2012. As for 2012, if we plot the incremental refinery margin, we will have a high volatility. It's between 2 and 3. And again, the same incremental volumes processed. So that's what I can tell you. What is going to happen this year? We don't know. But so in 2013, in 2012, we would have had, throughout the period, $2 to $3 a barrel and an additional 20 million barrels of processing crude oil. Thank you. Did I answer your question?
Yes, very clear. Thank you.
Thank you. Now, Philippe.
Haitham, if you look at there is a difference between the P&L and the cash flow statement. So the P&L shows interest costs. It does not capture the interest that we are capitalizing as part of the capex in the refineries. So the cash flow statement correctly adds to the interest line the interest paid to our lenders, and CapEx is deducted from the interest component. So CapEx is for the actual investments, and the interest line captures the entirety of the interest paid.
Okay. My question is more specifically about the 3Q number. Seems that that has changed compared to what you had reported previously. When I look at the sort of supplementary numbers you've given there, I just wondered if there was what the restatement was relating to, and specifically on the cash flow statement, not the P&L.
So we have restated the Q3 numbers as well so that it is consistent across the quarters.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Next question, please.
Thank you. The next question comes from Flora Trindade from BPI. Please proceed with your question.
Yes. Hi. Good morning. I just have some follow-up questions. The first one is on Carcara. You mentioned that you still need to negotiate with your partners in the consortium, but could you share with us if you have any idea of when can we have some novelties here? Could you have some news already in your capital markets day? And then a follow-up on a previous question regarding potential disposals, regarding your portfolio of ENP, and could you be considering selling an additional stake in Galp Brazil? And then finally, just a specific on refining, could we expect any relevant impact from the cost restructuring, or this was basically accounted fully in Q4? Thank you.
Let me go to the Carcará again. Flora, thank you for the three questions. No? Let me clarify, we do not negotiate numbers, no? We discuss numbers, no? Which is different than negotiating. And I emphasize that the geoscience is not an absolute science. No? So typically the numbers that come out are obtained from analytical models, but they are the results for what we call the peer review. So senior geologists, together with the mathematical model of the reservoir, create a consensus about the numbers that we share with the market. So what happens is that this reservoir offers the Carcará in the region. What we've seen in the reservoir that drilled is that we have excellent porosity, unique qualities in terms of porosity and permeability. Obviously, porosity impacts resources, and permeability impacts flow rates and productivity. No? Because these are so good results, it is fair to question where that can be fully extrapolated to the total reservoir. And this is so, and there's no way that we can do it through seismic. So we can only conclude reliable numbers after drilling another well. That's what we are going to do. So we do not have, on the capital markets day, the well will not have been drilled, and I'm afraid we will not be able to have a clear view on the resources of the reservoir. In terms of the second question was the disposals. As I'm going to repeat what Philippe summarized, we are not anticipating any disposal from strategic assets. We consider most, if not all, of the assets, ENP assets, as strategic at this stage. That does not mean that someday, sometime, we will not optimize our portfolio, which is what everyone does in the industry. We are not considering that at this stage. We are referring to small stakes in logistic companies and other activities where we participate just to clean the balance sheet and cash in some resources. As far as the third question, I think Philippe will take care of it.
Yeah, the last question was related to our refinery cost optimization. So the number is in the range of 2 to 3 million per annum on a sustainable basis. So the 23 million that we have announced today, this is an actuary calculation, and it is pre-tax. So post-tax, it's somewhere closer to 16 million. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from Matthew Yates from Bank of America. Please proceed with your question.
Hi, thank you. A couple of questions, please. One, just a clarification around the upgrade. You mentioned the 100 million euros incremental depreciation. Could you also give us what that would be for the financial expense once you stop capitalizing that? And the second question, just to hear your thoughts on your LNG business. Obviously, 2012, a pretty good year. Just how you see that in 2013 in terms of particularly your flexibility and any hedges you may have put in place. Thank you.
As we commission the refinery, one would expect about 15 million of interest costs to run through the P&L per quarter, and as you said, 100 million throughout 2013 for depreciation. Thank you.
As far as the Matthew, taking on your second question, the LNG trading activity, we see a similar level of volumes to occur this year when compared with 2012. and with similar level of margin. Most of the operations have or are being negotiated so that we can make it as a safe bet. Thank you, Matthew.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from Oswald Clint from Sanford Bernstein. Please proceed with your question.
Yes, thank you very much. A few, please. The first one, just on the upstream with your production cost per barrel, a nice drop there year over year from 16 down to 13 as the Brazilian volumes come through. Should we, or can you talk about what you expect this year on that number as we get a bit more Brazilian barrels coming through this year? Secondly, then, could I ask on exploration, should we expect to see Galp bidding or participating in the new license rounds in Brazil, both onshore and offshore? And then maybe a third one, just on the very weak gasoline and diesel demand indicators that you're seeing, are you expecting another 9-10% drop in domestic demand in 2013? Do you think it's going to end up as bad as 2012? Thank you.
So, thank you, Oswald, for the questions. Taking the first one, the production costs in Brazil. You see, the reason why the production costs declined from the last year, from 2011 to 2012, was simply the increase in production in Brazil. So we have now a number around $8 per barrel, which clearly shows the tremendous competitiveness of that field. You know? And it reminds me the time when somebody was arguing of the economic viability of the pre-salt in Brazil. These numbers that, and they, I do not anticipate it will go down in a material manner, because they correspond to the operations of one module, which has been running nearly or close to full capacity. We will expect the Tupi Northeast field to offer the same cost structure. New licensing rounds. Yes, we are already studying all the opportunities that will come this year in terms of licensing rounds, both in Mozambique, Angola, and Brazil. It's our duty. Whether we participate in one basin or another depends on the evaluation that we are going to make. At this stage, that's what I can say to you. Now to the markets of gasoline and diesel. Our forecast is not optimistic, but you see, now it's more a personal view than company view. Last year, in the last couple of years, the reduction in consumption has been so high. That we expect this year not to be as bad as the previous year, but keeping reducing. So it's a kind of saturation of reduction of consumption, and we hope in 2014 to start reversing this trend. But it's difficult to forecast. Thank you, Oscar.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from Mark Koffler from Macquarie. Please proceed with your question.
Oh, hi. Good afternoon, everyone. Thanks for taking my question. Just two very quick questions, please. Firstly, on the upstream production outlook for 2013, can you just confirm that there will be growth this year? And then just to follow on from that, what you might think would be a sensible increase year on year based on what we know today? And then secondly, just on the exploration and appraisal drilling at Lula West 2, I was just wondering if you could give a bit more color there in terms of pre-drill objectives, key risks, and where we might expect some news flow. Thanks.
As far as, Mark, thank you for your two questions. No? First, view of production this year. It will be increased after the commissioning of Lula Northeast. It will be, we will close the year with the exit production will be about 75,000 BOEs per day with three wells production, which means 7.5 for us. So it's quite material. Starting with one well, the unit will be commissioned in the second Q, we hope by mid-second Q to be already producing. It would be with one production well and one injection well, gas injection well. So the gas, associated gas, will be re-injected into the reservoir because the connection of the gas line to the Michelin platform that takes the gas to onshore will take place, the completion of that work, only in October. So we'll be injecting the well during two quarters, injecting gas, and then selling gas after that in the fourth Q, and in rising production with another two wells as from that. So we'll have an increase in production. The more clear guidance will be shared with you on the Capital Markets Day. The Lula West well that is presently being drilled, it's a new area that was originally not considered in our is not considered in the resources of the Lula field. So I would say is an exploratory well at this stage. So if it is a discovery well, it will increase the reserves of Lula. If not, it will demonstrate. Is another element to demonstrate there is no continuity between Lula and Cernambi. So if it is successful in terms of exploration, it cannot be concluded that this continuity does not exist. But if it is a dry well, it is another argument to support the discontinuity of the well. And you know that this has tax implications in Brazil.
Great. Thanks very
much. Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you. The next question comes from Lydia Rainforth from Barclays. Please proceed with your question.
Thank you, and good morning, gentlemen. Two question areas, if I could, please. The first one on the downstream, Manuel, if I can come back to that. Are you able to give us what sort of assumption that $2 to $3 margin uplift is based on in terms of the diesel fuel oil spread, please? And then just around that, are you able to talk us through what the sort of maintenance schedule is that you would be looking for the hydrocracker, and just whether that's once every 4 years, once every year? And then finally, on the utilization rates, and you mentioned running about 80% utilization at the moment, is the intention that that can be up at 100%, or given the market conditions that you would look at taking that as being a normal operating rate going forward? And then secondly, in that a separate area, on about 6 months ago when we were talking about Eni and the stakes that they have, you said on the 2Q call that you would be actively supporting Eni in its attempt to divest staking out. Clearly, we're 6 months on, we've seen part of that stake come through, but it clearly is an overhang on your share price. Is there anything that you're looking still to actively do with Eni? Thank you.
Thank you, Lydia. Starting with the downstream questions, you know that this incremental margin that will be associated with the new configuration of the refinery is dependent fundamentally on two variables, the input, some differentials in the input and some differentials in the output. In the input is the differential between light and heavy crudes, which effectively last year were very narrow, and this is why our guidance, what we would have had in 2012 is different than 2011. It was because of the narrowing of the differentials between light and heavy crude. On the products on the other side of the black box, let us call it that way, it is basically dependent on the differential between the price of Vigio vacuum gas oil and the middle distillate. And vacuum gas oil is typically $80 to $90 a ton below the crude oil price, and middle distillate is $180. $170 to $200 per ton above the oil price. And it's that differential that creates value in an hydrocracker. An additional component of value creation is because our refinery no longer is exposed to pure hydroskimming margins, which means that every barrel that goes through the system is converted, which in itself, and that leads to higher loading capacity in the refinery, in the economic model of the refinery, which I referred before as most likely increasing the throughput capacity by 20 million barrels a year. So now the second question is, what can we do to support Eni? We are always available to support Eni in whatever they request us to do. It is the responsibility of sharing of disposing or managing the disposing process of the shares is Eni's. And we have said, and we are continuously available to support Eni in whatever they ask us to do. Thank you, Lydia.
Thank you, Manuel.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from Anish Kapadia from PPH. Please proceed with your question.
Good afternoon. I had two areas. Just firstly, on the upstream, I was wondering if in Mozambique you could explain what interval play type you're going after and why you still believe in the oil prospectivity, because we've seen a number of unsuccessful oil tests by the consortium on the adjoining block, and I believe Total as well. So just wondering if you're targeting a different play there. And also, in terms of your farm-ins to Namibia and Morocco, just wondering, kind of given your technical team, are there any specific plays that you're targeting? Are you focusing on any particular area of expertise within your technical team in terms of getting into those areas? And then a question on the downstream. I was just wondering how you've seen and how you see going forward the impact of rapidly increasing U.S. oil production, which seems to be leading to much higher exports of gasoline and diesel than previously expected. Just wondering how you're seeing that impact the European refining market. Thank you.
Anish, thank you for the two questions you've asked us. The first one is geological questions. I leave that for the Capital Markets Day. Can you agree with that? The second one is, but in short, yes, we are targeting two plays in Mozambique. One of them as potential for oil credits for oil. Let's wait and see. Now going to the downstream in business, we are, as you are aware already, a large exporter of gasoline, fundamentally to the USA and Mexico, and we'll be doing the same, basically to Europe, on middle distillates. However, our balance of middle distillates in Iberia is only marginally positive, in a sense, because when you call about the market of diesel, we look at Portugal, but we sell more diesel in Spain than in Portugal. So, and we call the diesel that we use in Spain import. So, it is transferring it in economic terms, although might not be physically directly from Portugal to Spain. What else? The threat of the USA refineries. The USA refineries are now benefiting from very low cost of energy. They are using basically natural gas, which is much cheaper than in this side of the world, which is a major cost component of the refinery. But we believe that we will be competing with the European refining system, and we have now, going forward, a competitive and efficient refining system. So what is going to happen, I would not like to forecast. I really believe that in the gasoline market will be either in Africa or in the Americas, and the diesel market is basically Europe. That's how we see it now. Thank you, Anish.
Can you just remind me, in terms of your gasoline production, how much is sold domestically, and then in terms of the exports, what are kind of the main destinations for your gasoline exports?
We are exporting slightly above 1 million tons a year of gasoline, which is twice the our own market in Portugal. We are exporting fundamentally to the USA as a for blending with ethanol, so is a rebob, and to Mexico. But we have no issue. Remember, these are commodities, and by definition, a commodity has always a market. Is a question of price, And so far we had our gasoline, because of its high octanate content, is very easy to market. You probably are not aware that we have alkylation facilities in our refinery, Sines refinery, and our gasoline comes from an FCC. So FCC plus alkylation offer gasoline that is very valued for blending with alcohol, which and the scarcity of high octanate gasoline. Thank you, Anish.
Thank you.
Thank you. The last question comes from Brendan Warne from Jefferies. Please proceed with your question.
Yeah, good afternoon, gentlemen. Brendan Warne from Jefferies. It's just one question to keep it short. Can you give us a indication or range, perhaps, of the dry well cost exposure for the three-well program in Namibia? And just in terms of your equity, but also the part carry of the operator, please.
Brendan, thank you for the question. If we assume that the three wells are going to be dry, and total failure in the entrance in Namibia, it will cost us $100 million, including the farm-in that we made. So it's the type of risk that we are prepared to take. So it's not too big, not too small, and high potential. You know that in terms of unrisked resources, in the three PELs, in the three petroleum licenses, we have about 8 billion barrels of unrisked resources. And we think testing it is worth our $100 million bill. That's the questions. That's the answer to your questions.
Very good. Thank you.
So, gentlemen and ladies and gentlemen, thank you for the time and patience that we had with us. We conclude now our session, and my good friends, we hope to see you in our Capital Markets Day on the next 5th of March in London, and I hope it to be as successful or even more successful than our last year's Capital Markets Day. See you there. Thank you.
Thank you. This concludes Galp Energia's 12 months and fourth quarter 2012 results conference call and strategy execution update. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.